This is the Baltimore Sports Free For All. What has been an up and down season for the Maryland Terrapins in the Big Ten this year has finally come to an end, and now it is, well, it's conference tournament time.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of like the tale of two teams. On one end, you have the reigning, defending, undisputed, two-time Big Ten overall champion Maryland women's basketball team. And now what was your number 14, now your number 18 team in the country, the Maryland men's basketball team, who luckily are still a top four seed in the Big Ten tournament coming up this weekend.
Yes, that it is. Meanwhile, the women have played theirs, and as you said, undisputed Big Ten champions for the second year in a row.
Yep, regular season and in the tournament as well.
And it wasn't even close.
Nope, not even close at all as we move to the quarterfinals that Maryland has earned as far as the bye goes. Of course, that's the beauty of being a top seed in the Big Ten tournament. You get a couple days off. Maryland defeating the Iowa Hawkeyes, who unfortunately didn't hold up to their conference record compared to Maryland's. They were 8-10, Maryland 16-2 in the conference. This told the story right here. 75-55. You had Brianna Jones and Shatori Walker-Kimbrough, who each had 23 points. Of course, Brianna Jones out-rebounding Walker-Kimbrough 15-8. 10 of those rebounds for Brianna Jones, Ray, offensive rebounds, and we're going to keep bringing up offensive rebounds throughout this episode of the Baltimore Sports Free For All.
Second chance points. They are a doozy.
Yep. Let's see here if we're forgetting anybody else here. Kristen Conroy, 2-for-5 from the 3-point line, had 6 points as well. So think about this, Ray. Even if Brianna Jones and Walker Kimbrough were your top scorers in double digits, you still had the rest of your bench playing, and it helped out in the end. So, unfortunately for Iowa, they just could not hold up against Maryland's offense.
Moving on to the semifinal now, you've got yourself Northwestern. In this game, also the same story, 83-62 Maryland. It was this one wasn't even close as well.
Nope, and Northwestern having a worst conference record than the team Maryland beat on Friday. Maryland beating them 83-62. Northwestern 4-14 in the conference.
Brianna Jones with a double-double, 17 points, 11 rebounds. Tierney Pifferman, 17 points as well.
Yep.
And, of course, we got to talk about Shatori Walker-Kimbrough and Brene Mosley.
Yeah. What about Kristen Conroy, though, who was 4-for-7 from the 3-point line, having 14 points as well? And that's going to be key in the upcoming Women's Division I National Tournament coming up, I believe, March the 18th there. So look at it this way. Maryland has earned their rest. So for 10 days, as of the recording of this podcast, they're going to wait until March the 18th to play their first game in the national tournament there.
And the reason being is because they decided in the final against Michigan State to pretty much play the same way. Now, this one, Josh, disappointing. They only won it by 16 points.
Yeah. Maryland Lady Terps, you have disappointed us once again.
Underachievers.
You're never going to go anywhere if you're beating teams like that. 60-44. Michigan State Spartans had a solid conference record going into this game, Ray. Actually, a solid record overall, 24-8, 13-5. They were 19th in the country going into this game. 13-5 in the conference, mind you. And looking at the quarters here, Michigan State, they outscored Maryland 14-12 in the first quarter. Second, 12-12, and then, of course, this is where the wheels started falling off from the third quarter on. Maryland outscoring them 18-10 in the third, in the fourth, 18-8, resulting in the 60-44 victory. Now, that's how crazy women's college basketball can be. If you are consistent and stay consistent, you're going to win more games than you think. I mean, hey, it's worked out for the UConn Huskies, it's worked out for South Carolina, it's worked out for Notre Dame, it's worked out for Baylor, and it's worked out for Maryland. And hey, Ray, that's your top five in the country right there, and it speaks for itself right there. The stats don't lie.
Shatori Walker-Kimbrough also was named the Big Ten's most outstanding player.
And rightfully so.
Which is like their version of the MVP, and it is well-earned for one Shatori Walker-Kimbrough, as every single time we mention Maryland Terps women's basketball, her name was always getting mentioned.
Yeah, I guess the disappointing part of this was Kristen Conroy was only 1-for-9 from the 3-point line. She took way too many 3-pointers than she needed to.
She took two more than the one before, and she... I mean, that game was better because she hit 4 for 7.
Yeah, that is very true. Yep, Walker Kimbrough, 19 points. Breonna Jones, 10 points. Breonna Jones is a rebounding machine. 9 defensive, 5 offensive, totaling to 14 right there. So now, Ray, you have a 30-3 Maryland women's team finishing the Big Ten Conference in dominating fashion, 16-2 overall in the Big Ten tournament, or 16-2 overall in Big Ten play. And now we're going to have to get ready for the Women's Division I National Tournament coming up on March the 18th. Of course, we will know by next week what seed Maryland will be in that tournament, as well as the men who we're going to be moving on to at this point, and not for good reason. Now, we're going to throw you off a little bit because we're going to make it sound like things are good, and then we're going to end on a low note. So just bear with us for 1 second here. Thursday, March the 3rd, Maryland hosting their final home game of the season against the Illinois Fighting Illini. Illinois was 13-17, 5-12 in the Big Ten Conference, or actually 5-11 in the Big Ten Conference before this game. You would have had to have thought, hey, you know what? Maryland should beat this team badly. And guess what, Ray? They actually did. 81-55. And looking at the stats here, and the reason I have a positive tone to my voice, because it's only going to get more depressing moving forward. So just take this in as much as you can for now. Jake Lehman, solid game for him. 3 for 5 from the three-point line, 7 for 11 overall from the floor, 18 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists for Jake Lehman.
I got to say, in this little slide that Maryland has been in over the last couple of weeks, we can't blame him.
No, not at all. I mean, yeah, earlier on, of course, he was going to play a big part in Maryland's success or failures because, let's face it, he was the go-to guy whenever things were going bad because he wasn't necessarily the superstar coming into college. But so far, he has held his own, and he's been a solid contributor as far as a starter goes in Division I men's basketball. Robert Carter Jr., 14 points, 6 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 for 2 from the three-point line there, helping Maryland out in a three-point game. Melo Trimble, probably one of his better games as of late. 2 for 4 from the three-point line, 2 for 3 from the free throw line, 18 points, 5 assists, 8 rebounds for your star sophomore guard. And let's see, Jared Nickens, 4 for 7 from the three-point line for Jared Nickens, 14 points overall, 2 rebounds, 1 assist. Diamond Stone only had 4 points, was 2 for 2 from the free throw line. And that is pretty much the positive talk for Maryland. As we move on to the dumpster fire that was known as Indiana, their final home game.
It was such a dumpster fire, you don't even know how to say it correctly.
Dumpster fire, dumpster fire, dumpster fire.
And I'm not even talking about dumpster fire. I'm talking about the fact that it was Indiana and not Illinois. You do realize that is the Indiana.
Yeah.
Indianapolis is in the Maryland.
Yep, that is very true. Thank you for correcting me on that, Mr. Atkinson. On Sunday, March the 6th, Maryland could have ended their season on a high note. They could have easily matched or closely matched their win total from the end of the regular season, or so to speak. Unfortunately, that was not the case. 80-62 was your final for the Indiana Hoosiers as they beat Maryland by that score by 18 points. The tale of two halves here. Indiana was up 41-28 over Maryland. At one point, Ray, earlier on, Maryland was up by 8 points against Indiana, and they were taking the crowd out of that game earlier on. And then, of course, you let a couple guys get down in the paint, get some fast-paced points, and then you leave a couple open threes, and then all of a sudden, that Hoosier crowd just eats you alive. And second half, 39-34, Indiana outscored Maryland, and Maryland just could not recover.
Nope, and that leaves Indiana. They are perfect at home for a reason because, like I said, that place is the home court advantage in Maryland, even though you're going to be playing a tournament in a neutral site. This is a team that you are expected to beat when it comes to if you're going to be able to perform in the tournament or not. It was a litmus test for you, and the Terps, unfortunately, they failed. So now what we see here going forward is what can they do in the Big Ten tournament, because as of right now, they have a number 4 seed. There's that. But they are also now went from being ranked 4th in the nation to being now ranked 18th in the nation.
Yeah, and looking at the box scores here for the Maryland team here, 14 points for Robert Carter Jr., who I think was one of your more solid contributors in this game. He had 7 rebounds. He had 1 assist. Let's see. Jake Lehman, not so much a solid game. 3-for-5 from the three-point line, only scored 9 points there total for Maryland. Didn't really get any foul trouble whatsoever as far as trying to get free throw opportunities were concerned. Diamond Stone, 12 points, was 2-for-4 from the free throw line. Had 7 rebounds, 4 of them offensive, 2 assists. Melo Trimble, 17 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 3-for-9 from the three-point line. Now, here's the thing, Ray. Everybody has been talking about Melo Trimble for the past, 2 months, 3 months now. Is his hamstring healthy? Is he ready to go? Is he ever going to have any consistent games? Well, Melo Trimble has scored 35 points in his last 2 games. That's a good sign. But here's the bad thing, Ray. Averaging 17.5 points per game is great in college basketball, but when your team is down 10 points and there's 2.5 minutes left and there is still hope, if you have the ball and you waste 40 seconds off of the shot clock and don't come up with any points whatsoever, I'm sorry, I have to question your draft status at that point, because that is exactly what Melo Trimble did in the second half of that game with 2.5 minutes or less left in that game. And it just made me think, is this head in the right place right now? I mean, what changed in the course of 365 days? Because last year, you and I were on this show, and we were talking about how solid Melo Trimble was, how much of a freshman star he was. The guy could make free throw shots like nobody else, and now we're seeing a very inconsistent Melo Trimble.
I mean, that Melo Trimble that we saw last year could come back. He's still there, I think. It's just everybody speculating on what can he do and what can he not do. And I just think it's just a part of the, you know, slumps are a part of the game, unfortunately. And when you have an up and when you're up for so long, when you go down, it seems like it's just not, it's never ending. And that's the way, you know, his slump has been. In Maryland themselves, losing 4 of their last 6 games and losing in Indiana, Josh, and the way that they did, you know, where they're playing that Big Ten tournament?
Where?
Indiana.
Oh my goodness gracious.
So it does not get any better now for the Maryland Terrapins. It will not get any better or easier for the Maryland Terrapins until you play like a Siena or a Citadel or some other bubble team in the tournament.
Valparaiso.
Yeah, play against those guys, and then it's just uphill from there.
Yeah, and they're going to be a more up-tempo team because usually your lower seed teams are going to be playing their best basketball going in. Of course, we've seen that for many years. I mean, Butler being a great example, being in back-to-back finals. Who would have expected that? VCU, for example. An Atlantic 10 team just coming in and dominating. Of course, that's another discussion for another day next week. But looking at this Big Ten tournament coming up, you have number 11 seed Nebraska playing the number 14 seed Rutgers. The winner of that game plays the number 6 seed Wisconsin. And that game will be on March the 10th. And then on Friday, you're going to be playing against the number 3 seed, which is Maryland. Now, here's the thing, Ray. Rutgers, Nebraska, Wisconsin. One of those teams beat Maryland this year and pretty badly at home. I think it was Wisconsin. Wisconsin beat them pretty badly. So, yeah, I don't think Maryland wants to face Wisconsin in that game. And even so, they have to face the winners between Penn State, Ohio State, and Michigan State. Michigan State, your top 4 seeds, Ray, Indiana, Purdue, Michigan State, Maryland, not necessarily in that order. All 3 of the top 4 seeds other than Maryland has beaten Maryland.
That is the price you pay for Big Ten play. And
well, easier, Mr. Rogers.
Yeah, because it's not going to get any easier indeed. And now that you're the 4th seed out of those teams, and at one point you could think that Maryland would have been a done deal as a 1 seed, but it's just with a few key losses down the stretch, it's going to be tough now here. It's going to be very interesting going forward what these Terps can do and how they can rebound from themselves. Maybe I could see them getting bounced early from the tournament, Josh, from the Big Ten tournament, and then try to pick it up during the regular tournament, because that is pretty much, I think, the only way that you could see this team actually go somewhere, some way in the big tournament, because it's not looking good right now.
What would you say Maryland's chances are of being a top 3 seed in the upcoming NCAA tournament when it's all said and done?
Very low.
Very low? You say 30% right now?
I would say 23.
Oof. Ouch. That sounds like Jake Layman's three-point percentage.
Well, it is, but our percentages are 100% that we get you a show every week. This is another edition of the Baltimore Sports Free-for-All. I am Ray Atkinson.
And I am Josh Hall.
And we will see you all.